how true it is. He's the one that we need to delight in, Jesus himself. We are looking at some stories of the power and life of Jesus. The Gospels are full of amazing stories and insight from the heart of God. And all we need to do is look at Jesus, and God will teach us things that he wants us to hear and to know about the heart of God. I think of the words of Jesus, and I think of the heart of God, right to the source himself. And so everything in that Jesus did and said has something to say to us. Look at the last verse with me of the Gospel of John. Four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Look at the last verse and what was said about Jesus here. It says, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have enough room for the books that would be written. I mean, this is the perspective of John. And he's written the gospel, and then he kind of puts it down, and oh, wait a minute, and he picks up the quill again, and he writes this about Jesus. Boy, he just so many things that we could say about Jesus. And if we just kept writing, we'd be writing for years and years and years and years. And the whole world, what a metaphor. The whole world went out of enough room for the books. You know what John was saying? He's saying that there's so much in the life and the words of Jesus that are meaningful and deep for us. Perhaps we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg of who Jesus is. And boy, is that tip a beautiful picture of the heart of God. Someday we will see him face to face, and there's just so much to see. Well, 2 weeks ago, we listened to Jesus' words about our attitude toward others and judging others, and for how God wants us to be real careful how closely we examine other people and be more focused. Would you go on to that next slide, please, and be more focused on what God wants to do inside of us. I mean, it's one thing to have an opinion about what other people should be doing and what other people might not be doing right and doing what God wants them to, but that's not what Jesus wants us to focus on as Christians. He really doesn't want us focused on looking at the faults of other people. He knows that when we do that, then we tend not to be accountable for our own lives and our own hearts. And when we're focused on maybe seeing what other people are doing or not doing that they shouldn't do, that we really fail to allow God to examine us. And it's that self-examination by the Spirit of God that he wants to do inside of us. Through that, he can change us and touch us. And then last Sunday, we looked at the beautiful story about Jesus washing his disciples' feet and what it meant about servanthood, and that Jesus wants us to be a servant to one another. Jesus set us a great example, and he says that we're to do just like he did. In the same way that Jesus came to serve others, that's what God wants us to do. That's kind of the attitude. So much about what Jesus teaches us is about how we see each other and how God wants us to view the people around us in our lives, both within the church, within the body of Christ, and our neighbors and those that do not know what the love of Jesus is about. We're to have a certain attitude. And that one attitude that we looked at last week was this attitude of being a servant in our actions and our attitudes toward other people. Jesus truly was a great teacher, and the crowds were drawn to him. I think imagine what it was like in Jesus' day, and all the crowds were listening to him, and he was teaching, and they would come and to hear his insight and his truth and what he has to relate to us. The truth and insight and ability to relate to their needs was incredible, and Jesus was a great teacher. When we think of the roles of Jesus and all the things that he did, he was a great teacher. Of all the things that Jesus spoke about day in and day out, it's incredible what Jesus did. Well, I want to ask you a question this morning. What would you guess Jesus spoke about the most? What subject do you think that Jesus talked about the most? Those of you that have probably read the Gospels many times, what do you think Jesus spoke about most often? What subject? Who said that? Velma, you're absolutely right. And I have a 25 Limpera coin for you today after the service. It's right there. Money. Boy, you nailed that right. You must have read the bulletin ahead of time. No, you knew that, didn't you? You know that Jesus talked more about money and possessions than any other subject. You might think, well, was he just worried about money? No, the truth is Jesus knows our heart. He knows who we are. He knows how we're consumed. He knows what we have to be thinking of in this life. He knows how those things that we have to think about, how they can translate into dominating our faith and dominating our perspective. And so not only is there more from Jesus about money than any other subject, you could even make the argument that there's more about money and possessions and our talents and our time than any subject in the Bible, certainly in the words of Jesus. He spoke about it many, many times. And so truly the answer is money or possessions and wealth and generosity and a whole kind of a broad category of things that I summarize as saying money, but they're all about how we look at the possessions of life, how we see, how we view what God has allowed for us and given to us. And there's so many things that Jesus said about it. Quite a few of his parables are about how we look at our possessions. Some of his interactions when he was just with his disciples are about money and possessions. And when he had confrontation with the Pharisees, when he was in the temple and he watched someone put a coin in the offering plate and somebody challenged him about taxes and somebody was talking about building a building. And Jesus, not only in his parables and in his interactions, but he just kind of wove this idea of God's perspective about money all throughout his teaching in different places. We're going to read a little bit of Jesus' words this morning. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. If you want to follow along, I want to invite you to this one place in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus talks about money, talks about our money, talks about how do we view what we have, and how do we know the heart of God about this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, going to read through verse 24, and then I'm also going to read verse 33. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 begins like this. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And then verse 33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. These words come to us from a time in Jesus' life when he went up on a mountainside and the crowd came to him. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. He said a lot of things that are recorded in these chapters, in three chapters, Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. And throughout these chapters, Jesus talks about and teaches about and gives us illustrations about how we see our money and the possessions that we have in this life. Jesus was talking in the Sermon on the Mount to common everyday people. I just want you to kind of think about the context of the Sermon on the Mount. He was talking to people that lived in the villages around him, everyday people, probably, you know, kind of rank and file people like you and I. There may have been some millionaires in the crowd. I mean, it's very possible, you know, some relative millionaires that were there, and Jesus might have been thinking about them. You know, but for the most part, I think he was thinking about people like you and I who are going through life and we're working for a living and we have to make decisions about what we do and how we earn and what we spend money on and how much we save and how much debt we have and how we handle that. Kind of the everyday people. There, of course, could have been also in the crowd some very destitute people. That's possible too. There could have been people that were hungry from day to day. When Jesus addresses issues about those that are feeling destitute also. The truth is, Jesus talked about a lot of different things about money and possessions in the Sermon on the Mount and throughout the Gospels that really addresses the wide-ranging needs of people and our needs in the area of how we look at our finances. The point is that Jesus' words are very real for people like you and me. The words that Jesus say right here in chapter 6, verse 19, are very real for you and me. They're great insight. In some ways, they might be a new way to look at it. It could be that in your personal finances and how you look at your possessions, you read something like this. maybe you've read it before, but it really hasn't stuck too much. Or maybe it's kind of like the first time, and God's Spirit would say to you, well, listen to what this says about how you look at the things in your life. It could be new insight for you. Maybe for others, it could be a real reminder of the principles and values that God wants for all of our lives, no matter whether we're kind of up the upper end or the lower end of what we have, what our resources are. God has something to say no matter where you are in your life, whether you're at the beginning place or the end place, you're young or you're old, whether you're very settled financially or maybe things are so tentative right now, you don't know what's going to happen from day to day. The truth is, these words speak to all of us about where we're at and what God wants to say to us about our money and our possessions. You could call what Jesus says in these verses and other places the Christian worldview about money. Think about the worldview of how we look at things in this life. The Bible gives us a worldview about our finances and about our money. Would you go on to that next slide, please? The Bible gives us a God's perspective about possessions and how we look at those and how we see those and how we understand those helps us to understand and find fulfillment in this life. And when we listen to His principles, even though sometimes they might not seem exactly what we would expect Jesus to say, but when we listen to them, we find that they're a pathway to fulfillment. As Shauna shared one of the verses earlier, it's when you give away your life that you find life, Jesus said. I mean, that's a whole different way to look at it. You mean, if I give away my life, I'm going to find life? Well, somehow God helps us to understand that His perspective about finances may be different than we've ever thought before, may be different than what we understand and we think at other times. Well, the question is, how does God see our money and our possessions? Well, Jesus gives us a lot of guidelines, and I want to talk about some of those principles this morning. Let's look at what Jesus says about our finances. The first principle that I want to mention is the principle of storage. The principle of storage, meaning that Jesus tells us about what we put away, and I don't mean just money, but what do we invest in our lives? What are we investing in? What are we investing our time in? What are we investing our values in? What is it that we are holding on to as important in our lives? And do they line up with the values and principles of God's kingdom? Jesus kind of comes here in the Sermon on the Mount. He says to the crowd, what are you storing up? What is it your life's about? What is it that you're really focused on? What does your calendar, what does your time schedule say about who you really are and what you want in life? What does your checkbook say about your priorities? What is the time that you spend in leisure? What does that say about what's valuable to you? And so Jesus says, be careful about this. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. But He says before that, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Jesus kind of looks at it one way or another in how we spend our time and how we invest our money. It's either for eternity's values or this world's values. There are things that God blesses us with in this life and we enjoy. And finding the balance of those things are the challenge for us to do. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus talks about the issues of storage. What does this mean? I mean, when we ask the question, how much is enough? How much are we supposed to store up? What does it mean that we can store up treasures in heaven? What does it mean? How does that compare to what we work for and what we accumulate on earth? What about retirement? What about debt? What about going to school, going to college? And is that the right thing to do? These are all issues of storage that Jesus calls us to spend time thinking about and praying about and asking about. Certainly we look around us and we see all kinds of dynamics in our world about possessions of money. We see greed. We see covetousness. We see all kinds of ways that money is spent in areas that dishonor God. And we also see great examples of people who everything they have belonged to God, and they honor God, and they do amazing things with their lives. People like Mother Teresa, and we understand how can somebody give so much of herself and feel so blessed in doing that. We have examples on both sides. Well, these are not easy questions to wrestle with. These are questions and issues that if you really want to be a disciple of Jesus, you have to be willing to go before God's Spirit and find the answer, to be accountable to God. I mean, the question about what is enough? How much is enough for me to have in the bank? How much is enough for me to put into savings? And how many toys is it okay for me to purchase and to buy? We all have got to answer those questions, and they're very practical. And you know that it's not my role, and your pastor, it's not my job to tell you how to answer all those questions. I'm not here today to give you a formula. Okay, this is how much you should keep. This is how much you should give away. There are principles in the Scriptures about this, but I want to emphasize this morning that the only way you can find that answer is to come before God's Spirit and seek Him to show you what's right for your life. I mean, there are principles that God gives us in Scripture, but it's in relationship to God that God can show you what's right for your life. Other people may have a certain way to do it, but it's when you have a relationship with God, and that relationship is one of closeness and love, and you want to honor God with your life, and you are given to God and His heart and His Spirit, that He can answer these questions in your life. It's not for some great book writer to do or someone in your family to do, but you're responsible before God. Just like Jesus talked about the mote or the splinter in somebody's eye, you're not responsible for the people around you, you're responsible for you. And these questions that Jesus is asking and calling us to look at are questions that are answered when we come before God's Spirit, and everything we have belongs to God. And God shows us what's right in these important areas of our life about how much debt to go into, how much money to try to make, how many hours to work. What do I do with my hours when I'm not working? What do I do about the people around me in my life who have needs? What's the right amount of charity? What's the right amount of people in my life to be kind and giving to? What does God want for my life? And the best way to answer that, the only way to answer that is not for somebody in a pulpit to tell you what it's to come before the heart of God and say, God, I want to be what you want me to be. Show me what you want me to do in all these areas. We have such examples, both of good and bad, in the history of the world. I was reading again. I've read a biography about Howard Hughes. And if you don't know who Howard Hughes is, he was an entrepreneur in the middle of the 1900s who acquired and built airplanes and TWA that became American Airlines. And at the time, he was one of the richest men in the world. And somebody asked Howard Hughes, how much is enough for you to make? He, at the time, was worth something like $48 billion. This is in the 1950s. How much is enough? And his response is, just a little bit more. You know, no matter how much you have, if your heart is not right with God, it won't satisfy you. And it doesn't matter how poor you are. If your heart's not right with God, it won't satisfy you. Jesus said that life is not about possessions. It's about relationship with Him. And everything about finances is tied to the relationship that you have with God. And if you want to have a heart that's satisfied and content, and you get out of life what God has for you in life, and you get out of life the good things that God wants, and you've got to come before Him and answer those questions and say, God, what do you want in my life? You must have a heart seeking God, and God will show you how to do that. It must come out of relationship with God. The answer to these questions and other deep questions about life, they must come out of a relationship with God in order to find fulfillment. Well, there's several things about Jesus' words here that gets my attention. The first one is this principle of storage is a commandment. It's really not a suggestion. Jesus says, be very careful that you don't store up treasures on earth. How much did Jesus mean? What did He mean here? Be careful that you do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. He does say three things about those treasures to give us some clue to the heart of Jesus when He said this. He said, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Well, where moth and rust destroy. And so that brings up in my mind, what was Jesus saying that we should be careful about? Seems like he's saying that we need to be careful about valuing things that we know are going to pass away soon. The things that have no lasting value. Moth and rust corrupt. Those are things. Those are clothes. You know, you got mothballs in your closet, you know. You know, Imelda Marcos and 5,000 pair of shoes and, you know, what about your closet? What does your closet say about what you value in life? Again, that's not for me to make a decision. It's to come before God and say, what does my closet say about what I'm valuing? What is important to me? What do I hold on and important where moth and rust destroy? What about all the toys that rust that we have? You know, those things that fall apart and they last for a while and they do bring us some degree of pleasure and we enjoy them. And again, the question is not exactly what is perfectly right or wrong, but what's God want for my life? What's the balance that God wants for my life? And then the second part of it, where thieves break in and steal. What does that say to me? What's Jesus saying there? Well, I think another way to measure what's important to us is what are we afraid to lose? What are we afraid that somebody's going to steal in our lives? What possessions do we have that we're worried about somebody taking from us? Worried about somebody hacking into our 401k or maybe something that's out in the shed that's real important or anything that we have that we're really worried about a thief breaking in and stealing. I'm just kind of taking Jesus' words and think with me about this. What is it that you have that you're really afraid somebody will steal? Is it something that has eternal value? Or is a lot of your life maybe kind of concentrated on and you're kind of drawn to worried about security in your life? You're worried about losing something you've accumulated. You're worried about all the things that you've worked hard for and now you want to make sure that they're kept care of and they're preserved. Maybe they're passed on to the next generation and all the things. What would Jesus say to you when he looks at the things that you're concerned about in your life? Would he say, are you really concerned about things that are important? Are you really concerned about things that have value that will last forever? And he said, of course not. But in the next verse, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Jesus says that there are some things in life that are far more valuable than others. There's some things that have eternal perspective and will last forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And Jesus says, be sure to work in those areas of your life of preservation, of security, of making sure that those are the things that your life is focused on. We also know, and Jesus said, and we in the book of James and other places, our life is but a vapor. That we may think that what we have is going to last forever, but it won't. What will last forever are people's souls. So Jesus says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and thieves do not break in and steal. What we measure and what we hold as important affects the time that we spend with people. It affects our attitude toward others when they're hurting and they need us to reach out and spend time with them and care for them and help them. Our attitude about storing up in heaven will determine how concerned we are about people going to hell. And if we really believe that God calls us to store up treasures in heaven, then we should be more concerned about people coming to faith in Christ than we are about the toys that are so easily a part of our lives. These words of Jesus are deep. They call us when we really want to say, God, I want to go deeper than the surface in my life. Help me to know what's right in my heart and my life toward you and toward other people. What do we value? Are we investing our time and our treasure in eternal priorities or temporary pleasures? There's a parable that Jesus told in Luke chapter 12. And again, Jesus in another of these passages gives us some words and a story. This is a parable. But in this parable, he helps us to understand his heart. It said, someone in the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. So there's one money issue, inheritance. Another one is the brother and the greed or the unfairness of whatever. I mean, already in the introduction of the question, You already have these principles at work. Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbiter between you?" Then he said to him, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." I think of all the things Jesus said, I'd have to put that verse right there in the top of depth, in the top of things for us to really know about the heart of God and about life itself. And I'll say to you, whether you're young or you're old, don't think that your life and the value of your life consists in what you have in possessions and money in your life. That is a deception that destroys people, and it robs them of the joy that God wants them to have in their lives. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And then he told them in verse 14 a parable. See, Jesus said this verse that I think is so true. Be on your guard. Be on your guard. There's all kinds of greed that can come in, and we might not even be aware of it, of what it is, but it just affects us. You know, possessions affect us. Possessions affect us. What we have kind of roots how we feel about ourselves sometimes, our self-esteem, and, you know, we want to be with it. We don't want to be behind. We'd rather not. We'd rather be a little ahead at least, or at least, you know, right there. And man, it changes how we view people and things and time and values. The whole idea of possessions affects how we see people. It affects how we spend our time and what we do. Well, here's the parable. Here's the story. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. Boy, he was blessed. Some of us are very blessed. Good crops. But he thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" This is how it will be with anyone who stores up for himself but is not rich toward God. There's so many things about that parable that help us to understand the heart of God. The way we look at what God gives us, we can look at it selfishly or we can look at it as a gift. We can look at it as God being in control. That God loans to us for a time, certain things. There's also the power of what you treasure. Not just what you do with your treasure, but in these words in Matthew chapter 6, there is power in what you treasure. And Jesus says in this verse, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Whatever it is that has become important to you, your heart's going to follow along and you will become that. You will become connected to it and drawn to it and defined by it. And so be careful about the treasure that you choose. If you choose things that don't last, your life will consist in that. Your influence will not be what God wants it to be. If you treasure the wrong things, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Whatever you treasure in this life, you will become. You will become defined by it. It will become your identity. I mean, in a very practical way, ask the people in your life what's important to you. Ask the people around you what it is that's most important to Wayne Krell or to Bob Miller or to who else. If you would ask them, what takes up their time? What takes up your spare time? What takes up your hobby time? What takes up your time when you can choose what you do? I mean, what do you watch on TV or whatever medium you have? What does that tell you about your values? What does it tell you about your treasure? What does it tell you about what's important in your life? And what about when you're sitting around and just shooting the breeze with people? What is it that comes off your tongue? What is it? Is it things of eternal value or is it things about this life and this world? You see, the call to discipleship is not an easy call. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow Him. And so being examined in these areas are important for any disciple of Jesus who really wants to be accountable before God. Whatever you treasure will become your master. Whatever it is that's most important to you, whether you verbally say it or you just sing quietly in your life, that becomes your master. And so Jesus says at the end of this, no one can serve two masters. You got to choose who your master is. Is it going to be the value, the things of eternal value, or the things of this life? How you view your time and your money is a big decision. You can see it as belonging to God, or you can see it as belonging to you. But we know that we're only temporary stewards of everything that God gives us. And God will come back and hold us accountable. Not once, not twice, but three times. Jesus told the same parable, a little bit different each time, about the master who gave certain talents or certain treasure to his servants and went away for a time. Three times, three different parables, three different gospels, all told a little bit different. He comes back and he holds them accountable for what he has given to them. Why did Jesus say that three times in three parables, in three gospels, over and over again? It must be important to the heart of God. God sees everything we have as being on loan. That's how he sees discipleship. That's how Jesus sees those that would follow him and take up the cross. As we see life different, we see our possessions different. We can see it as belonging to us and holding on to, you know, that story of the monkey, the banana down in the glass jar, and he put his hand in and grabbed the banana, but then when he went to pull it out, you know, the banana around his hand was too big and he couldn't get it out of the mouth of the jar, and he kept trying to pull it out and he couldn't do it because he was holding on so tight and he missed it because he couldn't get it out. And that's kind of the way it is in life. When you hold on to things, it keeps you from finding the fulfillment that God wants in your life. It keeps you from seeing people like God does. It causes you to have blinders on and miss opportunities to be a disciple of Jesus in a hurting world. We are only temporary stewards of what God allows in this life. We can waste our time, not only with our money, but with our time. We can waste our time on things that really don't matter and have any value and don't contribute to us being closer to God and don't contribute to other people being closer to God. I'm thinking about all the ways you can use your time as an absolute waste in the eyes of God. Or we can see our time as something that God wants us to give away and use for His kingdom and His glory. Jesus said, watch out. Be on your guard. Jesus also said in another place, quoted from Acts, the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul quoted Jesus and said, Jesus said this, it is more blessed to give than to receive. How deep of a truth that is. It is so much better to give than to receive. We're so much more blessed. We're so much more fulfilled. We're so much more in the heart of God when we give than when we're takers. Last week I mentioned there are givers and takers out there. This principle that Jesus said is so true. It's so much better to give than it is to receive. It's in giving yourself away that you are blessed. It's in giving yourself away that you are free. It's in giving yourself away that you will find joy in your life. It's in giving yourself away that you'll be fulfilled in so many ways. It's in giving that you find the richest blessings of God and the people that are the happiest, and not necessarily the happiest, the people that have the most joy in life are the people that are the most giving. And I'll say the people that are stingiest in life have no joy. They come to the end of life, and life is no good, and life is sour. And it's because they have hearts that have been hoarding up resources and storing up things in this life instead of being focused on giving, giving, giving. We know that God loves a cheerful giver. God calls us in many, many places to reach out to the poor and those around us and to show love and care for the widows and the orphans, and so many examples in the Scripture of this. Those that are more worried about security than generosity are missing it all. Protecting your assets. I know there's balance and value in that, but protecting your assets can become just like the man who wanted to build another barn, who wanted to build it bigger and put all those extra things in it. And what did Jesus say in the parable in the story? He said, thou fool, what are you thinking? What do you think's going to happen? What do you think is going to happen to these things? If you have enough for another barn, maybe the application is it may be time to give some of it away. If you have enough in order to worry about security and be possessed by that, maybe it's important to come before God and say, God, what do you want with these things? Jesus also said in verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. That's kind of a curious part of this passage. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are on this world's treasure, then everything in your heart and your life will follow that principle. But if your eyes are on Jesus and the principles that Jesus gives us, then everything in your life will be drawn toward eternal values. The love of money, the scriptures say, is a root of every kind of evil. It can produce all kinds of distractions. I think of all the horrible things that the love of money, and you can sit here and think of examples of that in the history of our world and going on today, the love of money and how it wrecks people so terribly. And it leads to people doing such horrible, inhuman things to each other, the love of money does. But it also can affect good people too, Christian people, maybe who have not quietly come before God and said, God, everything I have belongs to you. Satan can be very subtle. Satan does love it when people destroy each other because of their greed, but he also loves it when God's people are too distracted. No one can serve two masters, verse 24 says. Either he will hate the one or he will love the other. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the things of heavenly value. If you store up the right things, then God will cause your life to be full of goodness and joy. Choose well your master. Whatever you choose in this area of your life will dictate your life. It's about what we really value in life. Shauna, would you come and lead us in a closing song? I want to challenge you this morning to come before God and say, God, whatever you've allowed in my life, whatever you've allowed in my life, I give it to you. I give you my attitude. I give you my heart. I give you my future. I give you my worries. I give you those things in my life that I just don't know what's going to happen, because we all have those. Some of you are more secure than others, but whether you're secure or insecure, I want you to know that God wants you to daily give that to Him, because He has a perspective about it that can help you to have joy and peace in your heart and your life and contentment. Would you stand together as we sing, and then we'll pray together in closing.